Good. Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Psalm, chapter number 66. Oh, that barbecue was fantastic. The first plate was fantastic. The second plate was glorious. The third plate, saved it for later. It's in my car. And so, praise the Lord. I know a lot of you have eaten a lot. You love this afternoon service. You're wide awake, gung-ho, ready to go. And so I figured I'd get out one of my longer sermons. And so praise the Lord. And most of you probably be asleep halfway through, and that'll be okay. I'll just feel better as a pastor if you go to sleep. That'll be a blessing. Now, this is a tremendously encouraging and helpful truth. Psalm 66 has 20 verses. How many verses? 20. Some of you are already asleep. I see that. 20 verses. How many verses? 20 verses. We're going to read the first two verses in just a moment, and you're going to notice in there it's important to make a joyful noise. You're going to notice that there's praise glorious. The other week, we have in Southeast Virginia these lizards, and these lizards have blue tails, and really, they're common. You see them quite often at our house. You'll see these lizards, and you know, it's exciting over the church building. We live about a block from the church. There's these lizards with a blue tail, and our kids grabbed onto one of those lizards by the tail, and it's pretty amazing. The tail popped off, and you know, the table begins to wiggle right there, and then the lizard got away. And you know, what did my kids do with the tail? They ate it, of course. You know, that's what kids do. No, they didn't eat it. But you know, they wanted to. They wanted to eat the tail. And my son Nehemiah, 5 years of age, hi Nehemiah, how are you doing? Raise your hand right there. He began to discuss the lizard because we were leaving the church. There was a lizard on the parking lot, and the lizard scoured away. And he began to talk about the tail coming off the lizard. So I began to describe the lizard, how, you know, something will attack that lizard, catch the tail, and how God created the mechanism where they get the tail, a piece of food, and the lizard gets away to grow another tail. And his eyes were getting big. He was thinking about that. And we're just thinking about, you know, God did that. God made that lizard the ability to, you know, allow that tail to get popped off there, grow another tail. And it's really a miracle. It's amazing. And I was explaining about how wonderful, how amazing, how glorious, how marvelous, how wonderful our great God is. And you know, it's interesting, as you think about this, you're going to see that praise glorious, I'm going to say glorious praise. We as Christians, dads, boy, we need to lift up our voice and praise gloriously or gloriously praise the great God that we have. We as Christians, woo! We need to lift up our voices wherever we go, at home, abroad, at work, at college, and lift up our voices and praise the great God that we have. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. And what we'll do is we'll read verses 1 and 2 together, all together in unison. Notice the ones that didn't get up, they're asleep already. It's okay. And so, just kidding, not all of you. And here we go, verse number 1, ready? Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Okay, now, you know how it is. You read that, but you didn't get it. And it's okay. We just getting familiar with this. Let's read those two verses again, and you'll notice that we should lift up our voice. Here, let's read it again. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. And glorious is above average. It's illustrious, it's exalted, it's glorious. It's not just average, it's good. It's gooder than good. It's better than best. It's awesome, it's amazing. And then praise is an expression of thanks or gratitude. We as Christians have a lot to thank God for. Okay, I have a lot to thank God for. I have a lot to thank God for, and I want my praise to be glorious. Glorious praise to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we love you. And in some ways, this can be a hard service. Everybody's full, tired, Lord, but I know you have a special plan. and this church, you've put them in a unique position. Two churches merging together, completing this building, buildings, you might say. And wow, Pastor Davidson and the family, the church family, has an opportunity to reach this community with the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you help us to not remain silent. Help us to be willing to lift up our voices. And really, not about ourselves. We have nothing to brag about, but we have a lot to brag about you for, Lord. You've done so many wonderful things. Help our praise to be glorious. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Glorious praise, above average, illustrious. It's exalted praise. It's an expression of thanks. Back in verse number one, we've read it, but I'm going to read it again. Make, and it's saying make. It's almost a command saying, hey, out there, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. It's begging, it's pleading. If this is a psalm of David, yeah, I sort of lean to that end. It's a psalm of David. David's looking out all the land around there. He sees the sun, the moon, the stars, and woo, which the Lord has made. And he's beginning to want everybody around him to sing and lift up their voices to the great God that he has, that we have. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. A joyful noise is a glorious praise. Boy, the ensemble here, these young ladies and these men lifting up their voices in honor of God. It was glorious praise. Boy, that beautiful panel special, four people, four parts playing, that was amazing. That was wonderful. That was joyful, and it was really singing a melody that gave praise to the great God that we have. We got up and we sang a blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We were lifting up our voices in glorious, above average praise to the great God that we have. Boy, I love the singing. I'm a little particular. I like my family singing to the glory of God. And they were singing to the glory of God. The orchestra, a little off every once in a while. You know, that's what we were pointed out. But man, it was done to the glory of God. Kids singing to the glory of God. Men singing to the glory of God. Women singing to the glory of God. Lifting up their voices to the glory of God. Now, you're probably like me. You drive around. Do you notice things? Do you notice things? You ever gotten behind a car that has a bumper sticker, and the bumper sticker, maybe you'll say coexist. Maybe that bumper sticker will have a curse word. You ever seen the ones that have a curse word? Nobody's ever seen that? Has anybody ever seen that? Boy, it irks me. Boy, I get a little fired up. I almost want to sort of glance over there and give them the not the evil eye, because, you know, we're not evil, but almost the evil eye. What are you doing having that that language on the back of your vehicle? Why are you promoting that? Sometimes it's a picture, sometimes it's like that. But the world, with their curse words, they seem to have no shame for their sin. And I want to say, why do you act like that? You know, I see a big sign that says Jesus saves. I say, praise the Lord. I'm so glad somebody said Jesus saves. We as Christians have a choice. We can remain silent, or we can lift up our voices with glorious praise, shouting and singing and praising the Lord with our voices, with our lives. Okay, I went to the store, and in Virginia we have Kroger. I lived in Virginia Beach for a while, an old house, and right down the street was my favorite store, a Kroger. I love Kroger. And we wanted to move close to the church, but the one reason I didn't want to move close to the church is I didn't want to move away from Kroger. And so finally we found the perfect house. We moved a block away from the church. We moved there. And I was sort of depressed a little bit. I get depressed a lot, filled with anxiety. But Kroger was the main culprit there. No Kroger. Then all of a sudden Kroger bought a piece of land and built a brand new large Kroger, man, to the glory of God. I think he did it for me, right next to the church. Well, you know, a few blocks down from there. But Kroger, I went to that Kroger. And I got in line. I had some goods, you know, ice cream, donuts, you know, stuff, necessities. And I was checking out, and there was a man behind me, and he was tattooed really from every portion of the body you could see. His face was tattooed, his bald head, his head was tattooed. And I looked on him, and have you ever done that where you don't mean to, but you sort of look back, and then you're, And you feel embarrassed that you look like that. And so you're like, okay, I'm not gonna look. I'm not gonna look. But you gotta look. And on his head, he had tattooed 666. And it shocked me. And at first I thought, man, that's not, I'm seeing things. And so, you know, you sort of try to look back there, you look at something else, but you're not looking at something else, you're looking at him right there. And sure enough, he had tattooed 666. And, you know, I got done checking out, he's the guy behind me. And as you do it, I say, sir, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, you know, you have a tattoo on your head, 666. Do you know what that means? And he sort of laughed, thought it was funny. He said, what? I said, well, that's a symbol of the mark of the beast, one thing, the number of his name. And that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. And he laughed. He thought it was funny. He thought it was a big joke. He thought it was he was making fun of Christianity in a lot of ways. And you know what he's doing? He's vocalizing his disdain for the great God that we have. He's vocalizing his disdain for the Bible that we have and believe right there. And he's lifting up his voice by putting it on his head right there that he's not a Christian, that he doesn't want to be a Christian, that he doesn't care about Christianity, the Bible. And he's lifting up his voice in a loud way with air. And you know what? Us Christians, sometimes if we're not careful, we go into our hole. We never say anything. We never tell anybody about Jesus. We don't tell them about the great God that we have. We see the lizard and the tail getting popped off, and, you know, that's neat, but we don't lift up our voices. No big deal. We're used to that. No, my God did that. Boy, he made the lizard. Hey, our God is begging us and pleading with us to lift up our voice right there. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. By the way, that's point number one, glorious praise. But, you know, it doesn't stop there. Look at the next verse right there, verse number 3. I know some of you are sleeping. That barbecue was good. That was very, very good. Very, very good bar. How many of you liked the barbecue? Man, that was good barbecue. The coleslaw, I don't know who made that coleslaw. That was glorious coleslaw. It was wonderful, marvelous. I love it. I'm coming back again just for the coleslaw. Even if you don't invite me, I'm coming back for the coleslaw. It was good. And look at verse 3 with me, if you will. Say unto God. This is interesting. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works? Did you see that? How terrible art thou in thy works? You could say that phrase with me. How terrible art thou in thy works? Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Now the psalmist, I think David, maybe not, but he begins to explain how we should gloriously praise our great God. And he's given his say unto God. And he's telling you, he's telling me these thousands of years later to say, how terrible art thou in thy works. Now, that word terrible, sometimes people will come up to me and they'll say, how are you doing? And or it's good to see you, how are you? And they're not paying attention. So I'm doing terrible. And then sometimes people go, oh, that's great, that's wonderful, 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 because they're not really paying attention right there. But sometimes they'll do a double, how are you doing? Terrible. And they'll look at me and say, what's wrong? What's wrong? They're concerned. That word terrible is interesting, because did you read it? How terrible. Did you read that? Am I reading it right? How terrible art thou in thy works. That word terrible is very greatly or very great. So you look at it, how terrible or very great art thou in thy works. Our God is amazing. When he created the moon, sun, moon, and stars, that's not just average, that's amazing. Yeah. Have you ever thought about how it rains, and then the rain goes into like a little stream, and stream goes into the river goes into the ocean, then all of a sudden it evaporates back up into the clouds, and the clouds begin to rain again, and it's just a cycle, and it keeps the water fresh. Isn't that amazing? Man, God did that. Have you ever thought about the ants? You know, go to the ant, thou sluggard. But we think about the ant. You drop a little piece of candy or a piece of bread. Next thing you know, thousands of ants, thousands of them are consuming the ants. And God used that to get rid of the, and just, oh, worms. Have you ever thought about worms? Then when we look at those things, God did the, made the worms. God made the ants. God made this beautiful earth that we live in. How terrible are thy works? How above average are thy works? How very great are thy works? By the way, that word is found in Deuteronomy chapter number 7. It says, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. Our God's a terrible God. But what does that mean? He's very great. He's not average. He's extraordinary. He's powerful. Psalm 99 verse 3. Let them praise thy great and terrible name. Our God has a terrible name. It's a very great name. Terrible's not that terrible after all, is it? Deuteronomy chapter number 10 verse 21. He is thy praise and he is thy God. Is he your God? Of course he is. Amen. He is your God that hath done for thee these great and terrible things. Our God has done some great, very great things for you and me. How terrible, very great art thou in thy works. By the way, you could continue on that word terrible in the book of Isaiah chapter 2. One more example. It says, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. He is going to, in a very great way, one day shake the earth. Now, we're continuing on. If you'll go to verse number 4. By the way, the next time you see a lizard, boy, look at that and say, look what God's done. Woo! That is amazing. That is wonderful. You see the stars? Boy, my God did that. You see a grizzly bear? Don't say anything. Run. Verse number 4. All. Just say that word with me. All. It's convicting. All. One more time. Think with me. All. One more. Here we go. All. All the earth shall worship thee. Not some, but all. In other words, point number 3 is all shall partake in this glorious praise. There's coming a day when all are going to partake. Not some, but all. The psalmist looks around, and obviously, like in all times, there are people that love God, live for God, serve God, but there's always been people who don't. You know, you almost look at Cain and Abel from the beginning. Abel, he offered a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, did he not? But it's been like that from the beginning. Some give God glorious praise, some don't, but there's coming time when all shall give that glorious praise. Romans chapter 14, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Do you remember Philippians chapter 2? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And, you know, it's important because you and I need to realize that we ought to give glorious praise to our God. We understand that, and I believe you do. Amen. It's been done today, and I'm thankful for that. You do a good job with your singing and lifting up your voice here in church. Sometimes that man with that 666, he mocks the great God that you have, that I have. He thinks it's a joke, it's funny, but one day he's going to bow his knee. He's going to bow his knees. He's going to lift up his voice, probably in fear and trembling, realizing his now end, being cast into that lake of fire forever and ever, having never trusted Christ as a Savior. Do you understand that? But all will lift up their voice in that glorious praise. All will. Have you ever tried to do good and it just didn't turn out right? Have you ever tried to do good and, you know, you maybe you didn't get treated exactly like you should get treated? And, you know, Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, we don't have to have vengeance because God's in control. In other words, that man with the 666, I'm not his God. I'm not his judge. One day he's going to stand before the mighty God and have to give an account for his life. I knocked on a door. Had a man knocked on my door, probably 5 years ago, and I went out there, and a fine-dressed, probably at that time, in his latter 70s, and come to find out, part of the Kingdom Hall, the Jehovah Witnesses, and our conversation went to Jesus. And Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same with the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and how Jesus is God, we understand that. And he would deny and say, Jesus is not God. His name is Mr. Jones. And he is part of the Kingdom Hall, one of the head people there. And he invited me to the Kingdom Hall. And so I went and met him and several of the other leaders in the local Kingdom Hall in Chesapeake. And I sat there in the Kingdom Hall in the Jehovah Witnesses, and we talked for 2 or 3 hours, and the conversation always came back to Jesus is God. They don't believe Jesus is God. The Bible says Jesus is God. They begin to criticize and say the King James Bible is full of errors. And boy, it's sad. And you know, then several years ago, about 2 years ago, he knocked on my door again. And he went out there. He's the nicest guy you'll ever meet, Mr. Jones. About the nicest guy you'll ever meet. And I looked at him, I cried. I said, and I shouldn't call him Brother Jones, but I accidentally call him Brother Jones. He's not really a brother, but I just call him Brother Jones. I don't mean to, but Brother Jones. And I began to weep because I realized he's sincere, but he's sincerely wrong. He's not giving God honor and glory. His son, Jesus Christ, is God in the flesh. And one day, Brother Jones, is going to have to stand before God. I met him again out knocking doors just about a month ago, a month and a half ago. And there was Mr. Jones. And I stood out there and I started talking to him, trying to witness to him again. And I talked to him for a long time again. And he's now in his 80s. And then I took it, I wrote him a letter. And I wrote the gospel. And I bit the gospel. I sent him in a letter. I want to send him a letter. And praise the Lord, Mr. Jones. But one day, Mr. Jones is going to have to stand before God. And I can't force him now to bow his knee to Jesus, but one day he is. All. Look at verse number 5. This is important for your church. This is really all of that first half of the, or first 10% of the message. The first 10% of the message is just trying to get here, okay? 10%, some of you are asleep, you don't get that. That means we've got about an hour and a half left, okay? Verse number 5. Do you see this? Come and see the works of God. Say that phrase with me. Come and see the works of God. One more time. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the thrones. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Think about that. Stop and ponder. Come and see the works of God. This psalmist saying all are going to bow their knee. Amen. We believe that. We know that. He's saying, he's trying to encourage everybody to lift up their voice, make a joyful noise unto God, all you land. It says that glorious praise, that praise glorious right there. And then he's saying, hey, come and see the works of God. Remember the lizard? Boy, that lizard, my talk with my son. But I want everybody to know that my God made that lizard. By the way, this building is finished. Wow. That building over there, holy mackerels. That may not be the best description, a mackerel, a holy mackerel, but wow, that is awesome. The church, your church, Maranatha, Davidson Memorial, wow, what a beautiful building. What a gorgeous facility. It's finished. It's amazing. This honors God. The hard work that you put in honors God. Somebody is privileged to have this place as their location for their church congregation. This is an honor to God. The community can come here and say, look what the Lord has done. What hath God wrought? Come and see the works of God, whom I gloriously praise. Boy, this building is beautiful. The work, the money, the time, the effort, the energy. Now it's time for the community to come and see the great God that you have. Think with me. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. How can they ever come and see if we don't lift up our voices with glorious praise? That's where we're getting it. How can they ever come and see if we never tell them about the great God that we have? The world all around us is lifting up their voices, proclaiming sin all around us. They're yelling it at the top of their lungs. They say, Christians are missing out. No, we're not. We're not missing out. And it's Christians, it's important to say, hey, come and see the great God that I have. He is glorious. He is wonderful. He is marvelous. He is tremendous. We have a great God. Probably 2 years ago, year and a half ago, right around a year and a half ago, I began to think about our military town. We have probably the largest naval base in the world is in Norfolk, Virginia, not too far from our church. And I was thinking about how we used to reach out for the military. We used to reach out and try to help those military get to church, and we hadn't done that for a while. And I found two men in our church, and I tried to encourage them. I said, Chris and Sean, let me take you out to the base and show you the need. And as we're driving to the base on a Saturday, there was a group called the Yellow Ribbon Group. The Yellow Ribbon Group, when I was in the military, they would come onto the base with their false gospel, a works salvation, teach that the way to heaven is by your good works plus Jesus, and they would twist the Bible in a terrible way, and there was a lot of them out there. And so I know the church that they're at, and so they just bought a bowling alley and now have a church in the bowling alley. And so I took the guys over to that church to drive by it. And as we were driving by, they had a big outreach day on a Saturday. They had their balloons, their tent, and they had people from the community. And so I told the story. I said, these guys right here teach a false gospel, but they are hard after trying to go onto that military base and teach a false gospel. And so as we're driving by, we drove past and they had that outreach day. I said, let's turn around, let's go in. So we turned around and we stuck out like a sore thumb. Went in there, went into their building. They have this. And one of the guys began to follow us around. And forgive me, but one of the guys, he said, now, why are you guys here? Why are you here? And I was irritated in a little way because here they are with the false gospel, teaching people the wrong way to heaven. By the way, if you don't trust Christ as your Savior and Him alone, you're going to split hell wide open, because Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so then the guy asked me that. I said, well, I brought these guys by your church because I remember how diligent you guys are to go out to that base and you guys teach a false gospel, a false religion, and a false way to heaven. Now, I was in their building. The guy looked at me and said, I'll be right back. I've never seen a pastor of this church come so fast at me ever. But he did, and I was gone. He got rid of us. Broke my heart. It breaks my heart that people can be so diligent with the false gospel. So we took these fellas out there, and I took them over to the place, and they began to go on every Saturday, knocking on doors, trying to reach military folks with the Lord. Now, a year and a half later, I can look back, and do we have a lot of fruit from that? Well, we've had a lot of visitors from that, but there's a young lady named Kaylin who's part of our church. She got saved and baptized at her church. She's in the military on a wonderful young lady, loves the Lord, got saved and baptized. There's a lady named Terry and her boyfriend, they're about to get married in another month, and she's tattooed all over the place, but she got saved, baptized. Tori got saved and baptized, and rough, yes. And, you know, do I wish there were more? Yes. But am I thankful for the few that we got? Yes. And the only way that any of them could be reached is by somebody lifting up their voice with glorious praise. Hey, we have the truth. We have the Word of God. Your hope is Jesus. Okay. There's a well-known story, and you probably heard this, but it's a tremendous, tremendous truth. There was a life-saving station. And it was up on the eastern coast, up north in the New England states. And They were on a bay that had shipwrecks often, and this old life-saving station was just decrepit. It was old, and it was inadequate, and there would be a ship that crashed out to sea, and these guys would take their lifeboats, and they would risk their lives to go out into that sea, and they'd rescue people. And one day, they went out, and the ship had wrecked, and they went out, and they rescued a ship, and somebody famous was on that ship and got saved, and he was so grateful for being saved from that shipwreck that he donated a bunch of money to that life-saving station. The life-saving station, boy, what they did is they got new furniture. Boy, they repainted everything. They expanded the building. They even got inside the vestibule of there, they got a boat. It was sort of the symbol of the life-saving station right there. And that life-saving station started to become popular. People from the community would go there to get a cup of coffee and enjoy life and the fellowship. And, you know, one day a ship in the bay there crashed, and boy, the guys got on their life-saving vests and all of that. They got in the boat, they went out there, and they saved a boatload of people and brought them, and they trounced in on the carpet. They sat in the new chairs, and they messed up the whole place. Totally messed it up. And one of the people said, "What are they doing here? What are they doing here? Don't you see what they did? They're messing up our place." And one of the guys afterwards, he says, "Don't you know this is a life-saving station?" He said, "Well, if we're going to save lives here and we're going to mess things up, we don't want that here." And they had an argument, and they split, and that other church, not a church, life-saving station, went and started a new life-saving station just down the coast. And the sad thing is on that coast are many life-saving stations, but few life-saving stations now save souls. Because saving souls in the water, it's dirty work. It's hard work. It takes sacrifice. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes energy. This verse, "Come and see, come and see," is telling you and me to go out and save souls. Lift up our voice. We can't help but speak the things we have seen and heard. By the way, look at verse number 8. Do you see it? "Oh, bless our God, ye people." It's almost a pleading, almost begging, almost just crying out, "Oh, bless our God, ye people." It's almost like the people are there, but they're not there. It's almost like they just ate a barbecue lunch. They're there, but they're not there. And so when you remember this sermon tomorrow and you sort of wake up, I hope it's like indelved in your brain. "Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard." Make it be heard. Woo! Where? At home. Boy, you got to go home and bless the Lord. Tell people at home. Some of you live in a wonderful Christian home where everybody's living for the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I guarantee in this church, it's not like that in every home. And whether you're in a Christian home or you have some difficulties in your home, your voice should be a voice of truth, a voice of praising God. You can't help but say, "Woo, glory be to God. God is good. Look at that lizard. Run from the bear." At work. I'll tell you, at work, we live in a difficult time. I feel bad. You know, you go and work, even today, let's say even at a fast food restaurant, and they play vulgar, wicked, rotten music, and it's sitting there implanted in your brain hour after hour after hours talking about unspeakable things, terrible things. And then you feel bad for saying, "Woo, God is good." Don't feel bad. Say, "God is good." Say, "God loves you. God cares for you." Boy, lift up your voice. Some of the workers there need to hear about God from you. Some of the managers need to hear about God from you. "Well, what if I get fired?" Everybody's hiring. Don't worry about it. It will be okay. You understand? Lift up your voice and praise God. At church. Boy, church here, this is wonderful. You know, it's an awesome church. This is an awesome church. Awesome. Did I say it's an awesome church? Wonderful people. Wonderful group. Patient, kind, compassionate, loving, caring, group of young people. And we don't have any senior ambassadors here. I won't say that because I'm not going to say old at all. But a wonderful group of church. But here at church, man, there's a call to join the glorious praise. Lift up your voice and sing. And you know, when you see that soul come in here that's not dressed right, doesn't look right, doesn't talk right, doesn't act right, don't kick them out. Tell them about the love of Christ. Take them under your wing and share with them the truth of God's word and say, woo, don't look where they're at. Look where they're going to be. And try to remember where you were at one time. Boy, at college, I guess there are some couple college people here. You know, at college, it's a Christian college, but Christian colleges are not always Christian all the time. And that sounds bad to say, and I'm not criticizing Ambassador. I'm just saying any Christian college, there's some good apples, there's bad apples. It's like that everywhere. But point is if there's a bad apple, make sure that back apple hears the glorious praise of the Lord a lot louder than the sin is proclaimed. Boy, that ensemble, wherever you go, you're a voice for God. In your dorm, you're a voice for God. Among your peers, you're a voice for God. You're lifting up your voice with glorious praise. On vacation, boy, you're on vacation. Go to church. Boy, on vacation, all around, wherever you go, hey, sing that glorious praise. This is it. The glorious praise. This is the final thing right here. In your community, shall be here. Thousands of people. Thousands and thousands of people. They need a church like this. It's their only hope. This is the only hope for this community, a church like this. A Bible-believing church with a King James Bible who has salvation right. They need a church right here desperately. Wherever you go in this community, somehow, some way, some form, some fashion, let them know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them about Jesus. Encourage them to come to this church. Bring somebody to this church. Beg them to come to this church. Drag them into the church. Hey, go pick them up for church. Plead with them to come to church. They need this truth. I was with Pastor Jim Davidson, Pastor Jim Davidson, please forgive me. At our church, nobody pronounces my name. They always say Pastor Matt because they can't pronounce my last name. So that's not here. Davidson's an easy name. We got that. So it's Pastor Davidson. If my name was Smith or Davidson, they would call me Pastor Smith and Davidson too. So it's with him, and we went out to breakfast yesterday. And there's a pancake house. Woo! Man, right down the street from here, you ever have chocolate chip pancakes? Oh, you ever had their omelet? Glorious. You ever liver mush? Moosh? Ugh. That's just like, I don't know what it is, pig brains and something. It's just, that's nothing to praise the Lord about unless you're starving. Liver mush. How many of you like liver mush? You're not right with God. You're not right with God. And praise the Lord. But we were there. I ate a little bit of liver mush. But your pastor was non-stop talking to everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ, to the waitress, to this person over here. There was this group of people on the way out. I couldn't drag him out. He was talking to this person over here. And then on the front, when we were there, there was this grandma and there was this other younger man. It was her son-in-law. And he was witnessing to them, trying to tell them and encourage them to be a part of this church right there. The one lady was interested. The other was a woman. But you know what I loved about your pastor? He was concerned about the glorious praise, God getting honor and glory in the community. And this church could have a huge impact. There's no reason you couldn't one day run 600 again. And I'm not kidding. If us as people lift up our voices with glorious praise, and you know, you'll make a difference. There's people begging and pleading for you and me to lift up our voices with that glorious praise. And I have an invitation, but you know what? Invitation is where you pray. You go to the Lord in prayer. But you know, you ever a heartbeat? You ever have a heartbeat for like somebody you're concerned about? You want to see them get saved? Here's a quick thought. Somebody took a bus 2 hours to pick me up. I was a sailor. I was in northern Chicago. They took a bus 2 hours to pick me up for church. 2 hours. They brought me down on a Saturday to play football, and then on Saturday night, this family in the church kept me, fed me, and then took me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. I had lunch with them, and then on Sunday night afterwards, they'd take me back to the base. Do you know how much work that was? Do you know what? That was a lot of work. But I'm thankful. Thankful somebody cared for me. Somebody cared for you. And there's a city full of people that desperately need Maranatha Baptist Church with people that care, that are willing to step out with their glorious praise and care. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we love you. And Lord, this psalm continues on. First 8 verses, almost begging us, almost pleading with us to lift up our voice with that glorious praise. And sometimes we look inwardly and say, what difference could I make? And in reality, we can't, but we're Spirit-filled. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. And God, you can use a sinner to reach somebody. And I pray that you help this church to follow their pastor, to follow their pastor with that glorious praise, not just inside the church, but continue inside the church, but in their homes, in their community. Help them to realize that they can make a difference. Lord, I pray even right now, they can begin to think in their brain, how can you use me? And begin to cry out to you, Lord, help me to open my eyes. Help me to be able to sing that glorious praise. We love you, Lord. We need you in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me if you will. I encourage you to pray. And that's what an invitation is. It's just an invitation to pray. Wouldn't it be awesome? You know, wouldn't it be awesome? Can you imagine this church reaching somebody with the gospel? Wouldn't it be awesome? How many would think that'd be awesome? Do you ever read the book of Acts? The excitement in the church. Why would there excitement? They reached people. But the people are the same today. They're sinners. I think the difference between the book of Acts and today is often we do not lift up our voices. The Apostle Paul, you guys were shocked I went to Jehovah's Witnesses. Paul went into the synagogue. Was that a friendly place? And what did he do? He said, hey, Jesus, you missed. It's Jesus. He is the Messiah. They took him out, drug him out, and cast stones at him often. But what was he doing? He's lifting up and shouting and pointing people to the great God we have. Can you imagine Maranatha Baptist Church with a church full of people lifting up their voices with glorious praise? Pastor?